This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Zach Martin says goodbye. The Cowboys free up even more money with a Dak Prescott switch. We'll talk about all of it with the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham. He will join us at 8 o'clock this morning here on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Metroplex. Bobby Belt is out sick. We got Pepe and Aiden running things on the Twitch, the YouTube, and the fan cam. Now that we got some money to play around with, overthecap.com says the Cowboys have the 8th most available money. If you sign Micah Parsons, you create $10 million more of spending room. What could you possibly do with it? Well, you got the wide receivers that are out there. That's the first thing I'm thinking of. You got your Cooper Kupps. You got your Davante Adams. Well, yesterday, you got even more wide receivers thrown onto the pile. The Seattle Seahawks said goodbye to Tyler Lockett, who Brian Schottenheimer knows well, and DK Metcalf officially requested a trade. He apparently prefers a contender. So, Lockett, DK, Christian Kirk got released by Jacksonville. It feels like you can add a wide receiver if you want to.
Oh, you can. And, you know, I went and looked up Lockett and see, because, look, this was, like, the worst statistical year that he's had in a long time. You know, and he is 32. But his grade on PFF was 65, for whatever that means. But his average yards of separation was 2.5. It was over 2.5. It was 2.7. 2.5 is like, it's kind of like, all right, that's your line of demarcation that you're really looking for. He was higher than Amari Cooper. It's higher than DK. It's higher than T. Higgins. It's higher than A.J. Brown this year. Higher than Ayuk. Guy's getting open. I think you could say that if you were to put him as your number three receiver or even your number two alongside CD, because CD takes up so much, and his age, I don't think he's going to get a massive deal.
Yeah. I think the easy, quick comparison is like Tyler Lockett, Brandon Cooks.
Right. But, like, you know, Cooks fell off here. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
You know, I would have to go see the yards per route run, all that stuff, because that really dipped for Brandon Cooks as well.
Over the past 4 years, he had 73 catches, 84, 79. Last year, 49 in 17 games. The yards per catch went from 16 4 years ago and plummeted by 4 yards a catch. He went from 16 a catch to 12 a catch. Supposed to be a solid locker room dude. You know, how much of his game is predicated on things that would decline as you get older? Brandon Cooks was a speed guy.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and lie and break down and analyze, you know, pretend like I've analyzed Tyler Lockett film. I don't exactly know exactly what the game is predicated on. You could ask your guy Softy there in Seattle how much he has left.
Right, but, like, you know, it's if these numbers match up to what they're seeing on tape, you know, which is that he's still getting open, that the yards of separation are still fine, I don't see why you wouldn't throw a flyer at him. I don't think it's going to cost you a ton of cash.
You feel okay about him as a cheap three?
Yeah. If he's cheap, you know, like, I think you can get away with him as a two if all this matches up with what you're seeing on film.
DK.
Oh, boy.
Vegas with the odds on his next team. Look, we can talk about Cowboy receivers and adding there all we want. The team that is at the top of every prediction list is the Green Bay Packers to get a true one for Jordan Love. The Packers lead the way in Vegas for DK to go to a 3-1. The New England Patriots, Matthew Berry from NBC heard that the Patriots are desperate to find a one at receiver for Drake May. They even called the Eagles about A.J. Brown. So the Patriots are 2 on this list. Then the Raiders and the Steelers. Then the Chargers, Cowboys 10-1. The Texans 12-1 for the services of DK Metcalf. You got to factor in the highest price of all that you would trade.
Mm-hmm.
And then the money.
Yeah, because like if you get them... Look, Debo just went for a 5. I don't think you're going to get him for that. It's going to go much higher than that. You can make the case if you're going to get him for that, then absolutely you go
after him. I'm thinking about a 2.
Yeah, he's 27. He's young. He's got a lot of time left, you would think. He will probably age pretty well because of his physicality. You know, like those guys that are physical, they could kind of age better maybe than speed guys because they don't rely on it. Physicality doesn't necessarily age like that. But, you know, can you pay 4 guys making $30 million a year? That's what he's going to want.
Yeah. I'm feeling out on DK. He also should be better given his physical gifts, in my opinion. Too many times the DK Metcalf disappears. It feels like Jackson Smith and Jigba Rockwall was going to take over there as the number one. DK can also have some maturity issues. He'll snap. He'll go off. Stud 2, I don't know if I'm relying on him as my consistent one. And do I want to give that up and pay that to my stud 2?
Yeah. Well, now listen, you don't have to here, right? Because CD's your one. So you don't have to worry about him being your one here. You know, like Cincinnati.
But then I'm saying, do I want to give that up and pay that much for a 2?
Right, like Cincinnati's going to be in this predicament. They're going to wind up paying that kind of money for a 2 with T. Higgins.
And if I was Cincy, I would not pay Higgins. I would let Higgins go. I got a quarterback great enough to raise all tides or ships.
Absolutely, yeah.
And keep Jamar.
Now, the one thing for DK, you know, Shoddy was there with him. And he had a really good 2020 season with Shoddy. So, or 2019. So, they have a history. Maybe that helps. Maybe that would help Schottenheimer, you know, try to convince Jerry. Or he would know him more, intimately, knowing like, hey, no, stay away. So that there's also that part of it. But, I mean, if you want to have, $100 million tied up in 3 guys between Micah, CD, and DK, I mean, you can make that happen. One trade, but it's going to cost you.
All right. What's happening in the Micah market? Are the Cowboys getting burned by a leaf falling to the ground? Max Crosby got 3 for $106. That includes 91.5 guaranteed. That makes Crosby the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. 35.5 per year as Micah Parsons waits.
Yeah, that's basically a fully guaranteed deal. 91.5 to 106. That's basically a fully guaranteed deal.
I love what he said. I just love the makeup of Crosby. He said, yeah, going somewhere like Kansas City and winning a championship would mean nothing to me. So the whole Kevin Durant bandwagon, yeah, NBA thing.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I want to win it in a place like the Raiders where you build and get it done on your own.
Now, I wonder, like, if this word gets dicey for Micah, if there's one guy that's up at $35 million, could Micah be taught to do a team-friendly deal? Well, now you've got multiple guys at that $35 million mark, right? Bose is up there. You got a couple receivers up there, right? They're all in that area. You know, does this mean that Micah, does the league, the NFLPA, basically nudge him? Hey, dude, you got to reset this market again. Max didn't really reset the market. Max got just a little bit more. We need a reset where now we get the $40 million. You're the guy.
Well, you better hope TJ doesn't get paid in Pittsburgh.
38, 39. 40, because if that happens, just a little bit. You know, is Mikey going to sit there and be like, yeah, I'll be the 6th highest paid edge? I don't know, especially if he's kind of hinted that he's not in this thing for 10, 15 years.
Jerry yesterday said there are terms and things to work through before getting Micah's deal done. He doesn't see it as something that will get in the way of free agency. Quote, here you go again, the stubbornness. I don't believe that not signing Dak or not signing Lamb hurt us in free agency last year at all. So he's just going to hang on to that till the very end. Of course, the legal tampering window for pending free agents starts on March 10th. Mike is not a pending free agent, but just so you know, March 10th, first day of the league year is March 12th. And then speaking of pass rushers, one of the Bosa boys is available as the Chargers yesterday said goodbye to Joey Bosa.
How about that? Is that something you're interested in? He's always hurt.
Always hurt.
Always. He's made the Pro Bowl, you know, half the time.
Five times.
But he is always hurt.
The move saves the Chargers $25 million. He's 29 years old. It just feels like a bigger name than player to me. Yeah. When you look at the production and the games played, I'll take it from 2021. He played in 16 games. He had 10.5 sacks. Then he played in 5 games. Then he played 9 games. Last year he played in 14 games. He only had 5 sacks. The production has fallen off a cliff.
He's not along the same guy. He's not the same guy, man. He just isn't. And
feels like a Bosa boy reunion in San Fran. Some people are saying that's not out of the question.
It's not out of the question. Those two Bosas.
What a nightmare for California
fans.
Yeah,
they don't fit. The they Bosa don't fit boys. San Fran, I don't think. But he's gonna get suitors. People are gonna ask want his services because he's obviously a name. But you know, when he's healthy, he's not terrible. But you can't pay him $30 million. You can't pay him $25 million. This is a smart move for the Chargers.
Ben Johnson starting to build that line. Michael Lombardi, friend of the show, and Bill Belichick kept making fun of the Bears last year, saying, "Hey, you got all these cool weapons. You can't block for squat. You're getting Caleb killed." Well, the Chiefs traded Joe Thuney to the Bears in exchange for a 4th-round pick.
That's it. A 4th.
People love Joe Thuney and have for a long time.
Now he's getting older. He's like 32-ish.
32.
He's getting older, and obviously, we saw Zach start to kind of fall off a cliff, with his health, for one, and also that manifests itself into your play. But people love Joe Thuney, and he has been a really solid player for a while.
He was an 80 last year on PFF, a 79.9.
Ooh.
Other odds from Vegas, will the Vikings re-sign Aaron Jones?
Yeah.
Yes is the slight favorite at minus 180, a 64% likelihood. But his next team, who leads the way?
The Dallas
Cowboys.
Really?
Were you about to say Chicago?
Those are the Chiefs.
The Cowboys are 5-2, plus 250 to get Aaron Jones. Then Pittsburgh, the Chargers, and the Denver Broncos. Will the Steelers re-sign Najee Harris? 78% no. His next team, the Chargers, the Cowboys, the Browns. No thank you to Najee Harris.
No thank
for
you.
Me.
No thank you.
I learned with my fantasy team.
He is a barely gets 4 yards of carry. I'm out on that one.
Will the Vikings re-sign? This to me is the greatest mystery going in the league right now.
Darnold?
The Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy Vikings decision. Will the Vikings re-sign Darnold for next year? What does Vegas say?
No.
No is minus 450, so 82% that he's on another team next season. The decision came out not to franchise tag him the other day.
Yeah, the moment they didn't franchise tag him, it's like, all right, they're probably going to just go with McCarthy, and that's the smart thing to do. Like, just unless he's not healthy, or unless you saw something from Sam that was like, okay.
Are we dinging him too much for his end-of-the-year couple of games after he was in MVP conversations for the surprise team, you could argue, of the year?
Yes. Yes, we are. They are. Those are huge games. They were the two, arguably the best two teams they played all year, or two of the best in Detroit. And then, who was it? Who was their playoff game? Philly, right? Yeah. So those are two of the better teams they played, but he looked bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Sam Darnold's next team, according to Vegas and Bet Online, the Raiders. 5-4. The Raiders are scrambling, looking for any quarterback. Schefter said that Pete Carroll could reunite with Tyler Lockett, Seattle days. Yep. Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. Pittsburgh at 2-1 for Darnold. Giants, Colts, Jets, Saints, Titans, Browns, Seahawks. And then you got Jameis Winston. Will the Browns re-sign Jameis? 87% no. His next teams, the Jets, the Giants, Steelers, Raiders, Dolphins.
So, Pittsburgh.
Matthew Berry says that they would prefer to have Justin Fields over Russ.
Over Russ, yep. Yeah. But you brought up Darnold there, and then you brought up Jameis there. They're becoming the new Colts, where the Colts would just get an old, washed-up quarterback.
Yep.
They went from Rivers to Matt Ryan. They had Carson Wentz. They're just doing that. And now Pittsburgh is, you know, they brought in Russ, and now they might bring in Winston or Darnold or Rodgers instead of just getting somebody in the draft.
Around the NFL, here on Sean and RJ, this is your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Brad Sham will join us at 8 o'clock. Are they going to spend that money? And Brad will give his Zach Martin memories. Is he really the twin now of Larry Allen? But an NBA insider whose intelligence I respect through the roof says this should not just be the last game of Anthony Davis's season. This should be the last time we see Anthony Davis in DFW. And he says it would be foolish to re-sign Kyrie as well. Are you buying into this? Commercial Free Expressway with Sean and RJ is next.
AJ Green. Damian Lillard above the break. Hot, hot, hot. Give him more.
That's the call from Bucks TV. Milwaukee destroys the shorthanded Mavericks in Wisconsin. 8 Mavericks available to play, and you just hope you can continue to drop down the standings. Good morning, Metroplex. We are now officially starting the commercial-free expressway with Sean Sharif and RJ Choppy. Bobby out sick, we think, with the flu. We got Pepe and Aiden live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Will Bobby make it back for tomorrow?
Yes, he will. No. What am I, an idiot? He won't. He'll be gone. He might not be back on Monday. He might not be.
Oh, he'll has be to be.
Yeah, he better be.
He'll be back Monday. Do you think he'll be back tomorrow?
I hope he is, I hope he will be, because, and you can be the judge of this, but if he's out tomorrow as well, I don't think he should be able to go to our dinner on Sunday. Because if you're out work, Thursday, Friday, and there's an event the next day or the day after, I don't know if you're allowed to go to that. Because if you're missing work, you can't be out in public, right? Isn't that the rule?
That's a day in between. I don't think you can be out Friday night. That's a bad look.
Okay.
I don't think you can miss Friday morning and be out Friday night. I think you're okay to be out Saturday. Definitely can be out Sunday. Plus, it's for charity. The Great Pates.
For charity.
Right. Justin and Emily Pate with our dinner at Knife and Plano.
Yeah, you definitely can't do a group dinner on Friday if you're out. If you go to have you
suck
just
it for charity.
If you're just with you and your girl, like, you got to eat. You might be able to get away with that. You got to eat somewhere.
Well, you can eat at home. That's a thing.
If you have food.
if you got to eat food. Somewhere.
He's got cereal, apparently.
If you have food. But the Sunday, there's a buffer day.
I think it all depends on the diagnosis. If they tell him he's got the flu,
then stay home. I don't want to see you anyway.
Right?
Yeah. Neither do they.
877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on the Franco LaFranco Injury Attorney text line. So I think these are now fascinating and painful Dallas Maverick discussions. It crept in the back of my mind after the Kyrie injury to ask everyone, is there any second guessing to re-signing Kyrie here? He's got a $44 million player opt-in, like giving him that next big extension. You got to try to separate your love for the guy. Never thought you'd be saying that 3 or 4 years ago. Try to separate your love for him with this injury recovery at his age and projecting what he's going to be. Is there any second guessing? I know we put it out there. Every single Mav Tolo is going to say you absolutely lock him up for the future.
I don't know. I don't know if they do. He's older, coming off injury.
Smaller, undersized guard.
Undersized, Does Kyrie, there were some times in the playoffs where he didn't have great games because his size did limit him a little bit. And as he gets older, he won't have the same speed. He'll always have the handles, but maybe not necessarily the same speed to be able to create. If he opts in, that's $44 million, you're going to be in a situation where now do you have to trade him to get assets in the final year of his deal, or then, like you said, re-sign him and get him to 37, 38 years old? It's a tricky spot. It's a real tricky spot, and I don't know that you automatically just say yes.
I listen to the Hoop Collective ESPN podcast mostly every day with Tim McMahon, Tim Bontemps, and Brian Windhorst, and McMahon said the rest of the league is going to be watching. You better take care of Kyrie.
Honestly, they might still be in a position where they have to take care of Kyrie Irving. And you can talk. Well, because if you ever want to get players in Dallas, if you do Kyrie wrong after the way the Luka trade went down, and let's just be frank, the franchise dumped on him on the way out, boy, that's going to be awfully tough to overcome from a perception standpoint with players throughout the NBA. This is not corporate America. This is not Nike. It is not the Las Vegas Sands Corporation. This is a business that is built around the players. And I'm just telling you, if after everything Kyrie has done for this franchise, if they don't take care of him, I think that would be a pretty damaging blow to the reputation of the Dallas Mavericks.
If it's not already destroyed. So my worry was Kyrie not opting back in and leaving us. Everyone on that set, Windhorst and Tim Bontemps, made it seem yesterday Kyrie Irving is definitely opting back in. It would be foolish not to. Bontemps, and I missed on Bontemps early on. I was like, who is this guy? There's no name on ESPN. But listening to this podcast, he's really, really smart. He can come off really aggressive, and he actually responds to Peyton Russell, unlike Woj and Shams, right?
That's right. He responded almost 60 seconds right after I texted him.
Said he was just tied up today?
Yeah, he just said, sorry, can't make it.
Bontemps says, you cannot count on Kyrie Irving. And I was also just assuming in my mind, next December, whenever Kyrie comes back, January 2026, he's going to be good to go. He's going to be back to normal.
Right.
And Bontemps is like, absolutely not. You cannot, from a common sense basketball standpoint, count on Kyrie Irving to contribute to your basketball team the way we're used to next year. And McMahon also said, this 3 or 4 year Nico window, two of it is probably, we know 1 year is already gone, but year two is probably gone as well, given Kyrie's condition.
Absolutely.
You agree with that?
I do.
So next year, the Dallas Mavericks, as back to normal, Nico plan, I need to get that out of my mind?
I would think so.
Because of Kyrie.
Because of Kyrie. Also because Anthony Davis. Because he's going to get hurt again, too. Just, I mean, he's the Jake DeGrom of the NBA. Like, we just got to deal with it. Like, that's kind of what he is. Listen, it's...
But I was thinking, okay, Kyrie, opt out. Suitors. Suitors everywhere. And Bontemps is like, absolutely not. In his condition, you don't opt out of $44 million. You opt in, no doubt about it. And this kind of just turned me upside down yesterday, Choppy.
Did Kevin Durant...
Don't even ask me to track Kevin Durant's moves. I have no idea. Did he what?
So when he opted out of Golden State, or when he left Golden State and went to the Nets, right? That was... He was coming off the Achilles. He did that. He had the whole injury in the finals. Did he not do the opt-out during that time and become a free agent with an Achilles tear and still get that bag of money? Pretty sure he did.
What was his age, though? You'd have to go to Basketball Reference. When he left Golden State, he played 78 games. Then he played 35 in Brooklyn. Was that a COVID year? I don't think so. 35 games for the Nets, averaging 27 a night. But I don't know what the age was.
Let's see. When he left Golden State, his last year in Golden... Yeah, he didn't even play. Okay, so in 2018-2019, he plays the 78 games. He misses all of the 2019 season, 2019-2020. And that was then the COVID year, so he shut it down late. And then he comes back, and he only plays 35 games the first year in Brooklyn. So he was 32 when he played his first year in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He was 30... when he ruptured the Achilles in the NBA Finals. And he missed the whole next year. Now, an Achilles is worse than an ACL. Now, the age thing, Kyrie is 34, 33. So it's a little bit different
He's
in age.
32.
Okay. A little bit different in age, but
he will be 33 in a couple weeks.
All right. So he'll basically be the same age as KD was his first year in Brooklyn. I don't know. It's I don't know that it's automatic that he opts in. He might opt out.
I was just assuming he could opt out, be back to normal, right, and get paid like normal.
He might. I mean, like,
Bontemps is painting this as like, no, a necessary financial decision that he has to get that money given the injury and the recovery.
Here's the risk, all right? You opt in to $44 million. You are 75% of yourself. You don't play well, and then you become a free agent 3 months later after you play your first game. You know, are you really going to get a 3 year max deal? I don't know. If you opt out now, there's the unknown. You might get $45 million on 3 extra years, and you might be able to steal an extra $100 million out of it. It's a risky play. Either way, it's risky.
Well, the bombshell, though, that Tim Bontemps dropped yesterday is what the Mavericks should do with Anthony Davis.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think Anthony Davis should ever play for the Mavericks again. He shouldn't play the rest of the season. And they should trade him this summer.
I mean, that's aggressive.
It's not aggressive. Nico Harrison talked about they're having a 3 or 4 year window with this group that included this season. Okay. Kyrie Irving is going to be a 33-year-old guard who just had a catastrophic knee injury, was a player option for next season. You basically have to write him off at being a major contributor for next season. Maybe he can come back and do that. You have to assume if you're running the franchise, he's not going to do that. At that point, Anthony Davis will have 1 year guaranteed left on his deal. He's going to be approaching his 33rd birthday. This team has really no ability to contend as it stands now without a proper star next to Anthony Davis. You're correct that they should tank for this year's draft because there's nowhere this team is going now anyway.
He's right.
Is that the smart team build? Can you imagine going from the NBA Finals and getting Luka's lob partner and Lively and building with Grimes and PJ and Gafford and all the right character and the Kyrie chemistry, poof, gone to no Kyrie and AD? Can you imagine?
Either you get...
be as empty as a Vegas desert.
Yep, you have AD. You have AD, and maybe you trade him, you get picks. Maybe you get Durant. You know, right? Who knows what you can get? But the moment Kyrie opts out of that deal...
Well, you don't trade him for Durant because, you know, that's a win-now move.
You're just getting older, right?
Yeah, you keep Kyrie. I think their win-now move for the offseason is to try to get Durant, but you don't get rid of Anthony Davis if you get Kevin Durant. You need them all together.
You need them all together, but as Durant is showing in Phoenix, like, what good is it to have four stars? You can't win.
You can. It's been done,
but you're...
It hasn't happened where KD is gone.
Right, you're just...
Except for Golden State.
You're so thin. You're so thin as a roster. Look, like you said, it's just 1 year anyway. Even if he opts in, it's just a one-year opt-in. Davis is a year older, a year more cooked, a year less trade value to his name. You know, there is no... The Mavericks have to look at this, like, forget saving face. There is no saving face in this organization anymore.
Yep.
You got to be able to salvage the best of a bad situation. And is that picks? You know, because one thing that this trade has proven, and this should be every gentleman from Chris Young to Nil to Nico, not Jerry, because that's different. Draft, develop, and keep your homegrown stars in town. That's what we care about. Cowboys, we don't care about that. Just win, baby. But the other sports, if this trade has shown us anything, it's better to lose your homegrown than to try to bring a mercenary in that we have no connection to.
Well, it depends how good the homegrown is.
Well, sure.
He's generational. Yeah, I can get behind your rules.
I'm not saying, like, I love Devin Harris. So I'm not saying, like, let's keep Devin Harris. But, you know, when you've got a young superstar that is that is one of the better players in the league. You got to hang on to him. You got to hang on to him. Can't trade him for win now.
What do you think? Tim Bontemps, Tim McMahon, Brian Windhorst with the suggestions. It's really Bontemps going hard saying you should try to trade Anthony Davis before it's too late. His stock is not going to keep rising. And next year, where do we all agree? Where do you fall in the debate that Kyrie Irving is not going to be a championship player next year coming off of the injury? Because they're suggesting year two of this Nico risk is already gone, or there's no way you can bet on the positive side of it.
I assume it's nine months, right, for your ACL.
Okay, so back in January.
And that's going to put him back in January, but, like, you know, what kind of shape is he going to be in? Like, is that first year going
to
be?
I'm just assuming he's back and good to go. That could be foolish. That could be dumb.
Because we've always seen this in every sport. It's not the first year you come back from the ACL. It's the second. It's the second year where you really kind of, you're back. You are really back. That's why I think there's a little bit of intrigue with Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's the second year after you're finally back. The first year you're trying to still figure out if you have any trust in that.
So the topic's on the table, 877-881-1053. Kyrie definitely opts back in and can't risk leaving that money on the table. Kyrie will not be back to his superstar self next year. And if those things are the case, you should trade Anthony Davis. Now, Tim McMahon says that's never going to happen. They're not going to trade Anthony Davis after this humongous Nico risk, but that would be the smart team-building thing to do if you were the Mavericks. And as McMahon points out, your rebuild does not have draft capital from 2027 to 2030.
Oh, what's there nothing wrong with that? You don't need those picks. F them picks.
So there it is. Pepe, what are the Tolos saying right now?
903 says sell it all. They're moving to Vegas. Kyrie should opt out from the 817. And then the 214 says, I don't trust Nico making any trades from here on out.
Well, he did make the PJ and Gaffer trade.
Yeah.
I know Bobby and others don't want to include that.
Overall, he's been a hit as a GM.
Oh,
but well, he has. I mean, overall, if you were to add up all the moves, he has a winning record.
Okay, so you're taking each move one by one.
Yeah, I'm counting each move as a
you're
one.
You're not counting Luke as 77 points.
No, it's total. One each. If you're just counting each move one by one,
yeah,
he has a winning record.
Okay, Kyrie,
right? But you know, think of it this way: like John Daniels had, you know, each. But if you look at it in a different way, where each move counts more, depending on how big the move is. You know, JD got a lot of leeway and a lot of equity off the Teixeira deal. He bought himself a lot of years off that deal. Nico just cost himself a lot of years with this deal.
Yeah. Fascinating. Fascinating. We'll see if we can get Bontemps on here in the next few days. Sean, RJ, and Pepe. Bobby Belt is out sick. It is the commercial-free expressway. I just can't believe we could go to, like, it's basically tearing down a casino, blowing it up. It's just the implosion of a building. Just yeah. Gone. Nothing
gone.
Left but smithereens.
It's gone. But, you know, the Adelson family in Dumont, they would love to build a new casino. And maybe they will.
Right there in Irving.
Yeah. Without right slot machines.
All right. Let's go ahead and give you a little sports break before Brad Sham, the voice of the Cowboys, coming up at 8 o'clock on 105.3 The Fan. Normally, this is the Neighborhood Watch, but let's try to introduce some laughs to your Thursday after that depressing Mavericks segment. What else you got, Choppy? And Peyton, you did so well with the payload. Let's take it over to your leftovers with ramen, the Venmo refund, or the best man.
Oh, we got to talk about the ramen shop here. You know, before I get to this story.
Love a good ramen place.
Love a good ramen place. But this is not about the ramen. This is about the Yelp reviews. Do you guys frequent in the Yelp reviews here? Are you guys more of just a restaurant review person, or do you review hotels, any place you go to visit, concerts, or you're reviewing everything, or just restaurants?
Great question. I don't review a concert, right? Like, you know, right, the name of the band and the songs.
Right, I guess venue maybe. I don't know if you can even do that.
Hotel, but I'm really like, okay, I'm still going off kind of name. You know your first, second, third levels. Yeah, if I'm in Indy, and if I'm in New Orleans, I will look at the Yelp, but I won't go into the comments too much. I'll just try to look at the amount of reviews,
the stars,
and where the stars are at. So if we're at like 16,000 reviews and a place is a 4.3 out of 5, I'm looking at that as fantastic and very good.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at a place that has 16 reviews and you're at a 4.2, I'm like, all right, that's not enough reviews.
It's not enough. I'm not as big on the reviews. Like the, I'll notice them.
I was looking at the pictures too. I got to look at the food pics,
pictures. Mm-hmm. You know, the menu.
Yeah, anyone who posts the menu pictures a king.
What a king!
You're a hero.
What a king! I don't. Yeah, the comments though. I'm not gonna get bogged down.
Trust people enough for that.
I don't either. Plus, like, you know, for me, I have this. You know, I'll do that more with like hotels and stuff. I have a weird thing. I don't like necessarily like food reviews. Because I don't know what's in your mouth.
Hmm.
I can't taste what you taste.
So like, imagine Bobby giving reviews on restaurants. It'd be one star everything.
You got to find someone you trust. Like, if I go to Indy, I'm always looking up Dave Portnoy to see if he's eaten at pizza in Indianapolis or Vegas or New Orleans.
Right.
So I'm trying to find, you know, there's a
Archer killed us. He killed us one day.
Todd Archer killed us. And the Dallas Cowboys ate there, and Dave Hellman was eating at this deli. It was a terrible deli. It's a bad deli.
Very bad deli.
They had one at the airport, and I couldn't even look over in that direction. But if there's like some famous, you know, Creole Cajun chefs that I followed or watched on YouTube, I'm going to look up their suggestions for New Orleans. Like, so it's not just Yelp. It's like, what food people do I know and trust? So it's a mixture.
Well, if you're someone that likes to leave negative reviews about a restaurant or food place, do not leave bad reviews at this restaurant or your life might be at risk. This is a ramen shop owner in Japan. He set a cash bounty on two customers who left a one-star review at his restaurant. He takes it very seriously, he says. He says, I'm all about the reviews, you know, all about the customers.
Cash bounty?
Yeah, so it equivalents to about $700, where if you can, and it wasn't he did confirm, it was not to kill these people. It was just to identify them. They left an anonymous review, and he wanted them found and confronted, basically, of why'd you say this crap about my restaurant? So these two individuals left one-star reviews, and I just think this is next-level psycho behavior.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, you're going to get this butthurt over a review. Like, you have all, it could be 4.9 stars, and he's going to find the one that's like, oh, you made it that, you know, made it 4.9.
Yeah, so the thing that I find actually the most interesting with the Yelp reviews or how many times a restaurant responds. Yeah. And whether you do the typical copy, you can find this for a pool builder, you can find this for anyone. Are you getting the copy and paste, or do you have someone that's typing up individual responses to each of the negative reviews? And you will find a lot of that. And I'm like, man, the time and dedication that it takes to type out those reviews, I respect it, because you're going after my business. You know, it's like me typing back on Twitter. My wife can always tell if I'm typing back something nice to someone or something mean.
Oh, based on how hard you're typing?
Based on how hard I'm typing. Like, Michael Irvin tweeted out this Carnival, I think, video where he's shirtless and he's got, like, glitter around his belly button. And I was like, what the hell, Mike? And this douchebag Lee is like, well, you never had abs. So, you know, so I got to type him back and be like, they were good enough for your mama. So, yeah, you're right about that. But your mama has always enjoyed them. So I have to write back with that type of vengeance whenever someone comes at me. So I respect the Yelp reviews and this guy going after the one stars. Yeah.
The real question is, what is your Uber rating?
Oh, like me as a passenger?
Yeah.
I can check.
And what is the number that, like, will you be friends with somebody under a certain number?
I worry about credit score more than Uber rating.
We had a big fight about that the other day.
Well, that doesn't, like, judge you personally, though.
No.
That doesn't judge your personality. My question to you in return is, all right, when you're in a Lyft or Uber and you see this person has a 4.9, how many times do you say to yourself, well, this car shouldn't have a 4.9? You know, it's like I got in the car back from Indy and I had that final piece of the club sandwich that I saved from our lunch, and I had an hour ride back to get my car, and I take out the sandwich. I'm starting the first bite and this guy goes, no. No, Mr. Sharif, no food in the car. And I was like, all right, well, I'm not giving this guy a tip.
Wow.
Now, I didn't knock him on the star reviews, but I take that into account.
Okay.
No food, no drink. If I'm pregame at Friday, Saturday, and I get into the car with the red Solo cup, the person who lets me get in there, I'm giving the extra tip and the bigger review. The person who's like, no drink in the car, dump it out. I'm like, all right, man, that's not cool. It may be your policy, but that's how I'm judging the tip.
I am 4.94, by the way. 4.94.
All right. Okay.
I think that's pretty good.
How many rides has your cheap ass taken out?
Probably like six.
Right?
Because I'm driving everywhere.
How do you find that out?
Yeah, I got to find the review.
So 4.95.
That's the ramen review with the Yelp people going after you. But you get also, it's hard to trust it because you get these mobs that try to take you down. Like the Tay-Tay mob, they tried to take down the mother of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson because he was insulting the Swifties.
Right.
Well, the Swifties went and tried to destroy his mother's restaurant.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they're just, come on now. That's yeah, you're dealing with somebody's life. That's wrong. That's just wrong. Let's go to Wisconsin, shall we? A teen, a high school kid, he has never missed school. He had a perfect attendance record. All of a sudden, he stopped showing up. His name is Nikita. He had a two-week absence from high school, as well as weird and suspicious text messages sent from his stepdad's phone. Prompted police to do a welfare check on the family. There, they found the 17-year-old's mom, whose name is Tatiana, buried under clothes with a bullet wound, and her face blackened from decomposition with dried blood on the floor around her. The stepdad, Donald Mayer, also found underclothing with an obvious wound to the back of his head. And here's Nikita, arrested 850 miles away with a .357 Magnum in his possession. He was not arrested for
the murder.
He was arrested for having no driver's license and one count of theft and one count of operating a motor vehicle without the owner's consent. And he only faces 6 years. But obviously, they're trying to figure out, hey, did you kill your parents?
Yeah.
Which it very well may have been a situation.
And how old's the kid?
He's 17. Perfect attendance record. And all of a sudden, he's 2 weeks not at school. Nobody's heard anything from him. And now he shows up 850 miles away from Wisconsin. And he's got a gun, the very gun that was registered to his stepdad.
All right, guys, this next story. So we all know I'm a frugal person when it comes to money. But this next story is about giving back. And I'm not talking about to the community, but giving back money to someone. You know, so we've all been in the situation before where we offer to pay for a meal and maybe the person we're with says, no, you know, I got it. And it's back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, I'll keep the credit card in your wallet. Well, the saying nice guys finish last might actually be true. This is a man, and I don't know the whole backstory, if they were dating or, you know, acquaintances or what sorts, but I know they were, you know, somewhat friends, and he couldn't take this girl out to lunch, so he Apple cashed her, which is just like Venmo if you're not aware of it, but Apple cashed her $30, said, here, I'll cover lunch for you for the day, and she sent it right back to him and said it was low effort. So if you're not going to take me someplace out to eat, I don't want your money for it.
No effort?
Yeah, basically like saying, you know, you're not going to pay for my meal, like, you know, oh, you go get it yourself. That's what I'm taking from this thing, you know, because if you give a woman, you know, 30, 40 bucks for a meal or something, you're like, all right, go get it yourself, instead of actually putting the effort to take her. I guess she has high expectations here, but it's like, man, if someone's giving you money for lunch, just take it and go. Why do you got to be such a B?
So Jared and Bobby do this all the time. They are Venmo ping pongers.
Oh.
Yeah. And I appreciate it. You know, like, no, you gave too much, or no, I'm going to owe you for this. But how many times can you ping pong back and forth before it stops? For me, it's twice. They send it to me. I send it back. Actually, three times, I guess. And then if they send it again, I'm keeping it.
Keeping it. Yeah.
It's a three-time max with the ping-ponging back and forth.
But see, I've never done that before. If someone sends me it, like, it's just a
yeah, because you keep it because you're cheap.
It's game over.
Of course you never.
But if you offer me cash, if you're like, here, take it, I'm like, no, you know, it's just reaction of rejecting the cash. But if you Venmo me something, it's like, now I got it. It's in my account already.
If you send me a Venmo on mistake, like, you hit the, like, I've done this before. I was supposed to Venmo Derek Holland. I instead Venmo Derek Ramirez.
Okay.
And I said, and
what a difference between those two.
Well, it's just right now, right? But I always, when I Venmo Derek, I always use, you know, you have to put the note on what it is.
Yeah.
I always do the eggplant emoji.
Yeah.
All right. And then I accidentally said to the wrong guy, he's like, yo, man, what's this about?
Trying to get down?
I was like, sorry, long story. So he kicked me the money back, right? He kicked me the money back. But my grandfather always used to tell me, if someone gives you money, take it and don't ask where it came from. Now, he might have been involved with some nefarious...
Is that the one that had the pinky ring?
That was his pinky ring.
Well, there you go.
That was his pinky ring.
Yeah.
His brother may or may not have fixed the New York State Lottery one time.
Whoa.
Or at least tried to. But he got off. He got off. So there's no proof of that.
Okay.
But so to take it, don't ask where it came from. That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's one thing to reject cash in person, but to send the money back, I've never seen it before. And then to call it low effort, that's just a low move there. But this next story, guys, it might be an all-time bro code violation here. This is a best man at a wedding. He's giving a speech, right? And he's trying to crack jokes, trying to make light of the situation, trying to be funny. And
by the way, have you decided amongst your 14 brothers who your best man is?
I do have my my Fab Five. My groomsmen, so...
That's not what I asked.
Oh, what?
Best man.
Oh, yes, I do have the best man.
And and which brother is it?
It's not a brother.
Whoa!
I went outside. I went just friend group.
Well, you went to the hombres?
I went to the Los Hombres. And, the brothers, obviously, they're...
How many brothers do you have for real?
Three.
And not one is the best.
Tough. It's
now,
tough.
Did you do that because there isn't one you love enough, or you didn't want to offend the other two?
Yeah, I just... You know, me and my brothers, we share... a lot of differences, and so I knew that
share a lot of differences.
If I picked one against the others, you know, it might, you know, rub people the wrong way a little bit.
What are their nips like? Are they the same as yours?
Oh, big cones.
Big cones?
The adopted one, RJ, that you know that you've seen before. Yeah. Yeah. The one that's adopted but not adopted. But yeah, so I went the friend group here. All my best friends. And I had to pick one best man out of that, and it was with the guy that we brought up, I think it was last week or the week before, where Robbie brought the Facebook picture of the two.
Oh yeah,
and it was the guy Adam. He's on there, so he's the best man.
Brothers weren't offended?
No, they're fine with it. They're all fine. Right. I mean, obviously, like they're gonna be there. I'll have them, you know, hang out with them. They'll maybe be at the
hang out. I'll see them
at my wedding.
I'll try and have them at the you know, reception dinner, you know, before.
I'll try to.
All right. I'm a frugal guy here. But yeah, this is the best man at the wedding.
Is this gonna be a plus one? I mean, is significant others invited to this?
Yeah. I gave you guys the plus one because I want you there. I know Sean, if he doesn't get the plus one, he's not showing up.
RJ wouldn't go.
I wouldn't go either.
Bobby would.
Wow.
Bobby would absolutely go.
Bobby would go solo.
But yes, we figured out the guest list. We do have plus ones at the wedding. So if you're still waiting for the invitation, well, it's on its way probably. but this best man at a wedding, he was, you know, going through a speech and he brought up how he once dated the bride. And he was trying to make joke of the situation. You know, he was calling her pretty and everything. So maybe he gets a pass. But I was like, I don't know if I bring that up in front of everyone. Plus, I've never been a big fan of the being friends with someone that's dated your now wife. I think that's the end of the relationship.
Ooh.
That's when he cut it off. You can be best friends, but if I find out you dated this girl, you know, with history and everything, I can't let you have the upper hand.
See,
on me.
That's jealous Peyton coming in.
JP.
Is it jealousy? I mean,
well, you're with her.
What
was the extent of the date? Like, did they sleep with each other or did they have a Tinder Bumble cocktail?
Just one date or something? Or
one day?
If that's fine with me. But if they're like a full, like, you know, we were serious looking at rings. We were like, you know, it's like you have the upper hand on every comeback because you slept with my wife.
Well, I don't know this.
You do have the upper hand.
I don't know if that's jealousy, man. That might be valid.
You do have the upper hand. But I guess you could look at it like you won. You have her.
Yeah, but.
But then they bring up, sloppy seconds, man. You know, like, I mean, so I don't know. I think that's the end of the relationship there.
You know, my grandmother dated my grandfather's brother. They were engaged, and then my grandfather swoops in and takes her. And
because they won the lottery.
They fixed the lottery. They didn't win it.
That's right. All right, commercial-free Expressway Thursday edition here on Sean and RJ. DFW Sports Station, your home of the Cowboys, is 105.3 The Fan. Brad Sham, the voice of America's team, with his memories and thoughts recapping the career of Zach Martin, and does he think that Jerry and Steven are ready to spend all that money? Brad Sham joins us after this.